gon' get it. I'm gon' get it and we gon' get it and you gon' get it and you gon' feel it. I'm gon' get it and we gon' get it and you gon' feel it and you gon' get it. I'm gon' get it and we gon' get it and you gon' get it and you gon' feel it.
Here comes the, here comes the, here comes the.
Y'all don't really want it like that.
Here comes the.
NFL fans, welcome to another edition of This Week in the NFL here on the North South Connection Podcast Network. I'm your host, the Cowboy. We're heading into Week 12. Joined as always, we have a good consistent crew going here. So this will be, I think, the fourth week in a row. Four-man booth. We've seen the show's popularity skyrocket from the time we went to the three-man booth to the four-man booth. That makes me think the first guy I'm going to introduce was probably the reason for that. Biggest Cardinals fan in New England, Rhode Island specifically, and my best bud, Ryder. How you doing tonight, Ryder?
Good.
You sure you're doing good after that performance?
Yes.
It was a tough loss. We'll get into it, but Ryder's feeling good because I think he had his last day of school today until next Monday. Am I right about that, Ryder?
Yeah.
You pumped? What time do you get to stay up till now?
10:30.
10:30 instead of 9:30 on the school night. So that means he probably doesn't have to leave after the Cardinals segment tonight. We can keep him on for the whole thing. So that's good to hear, Ryder. It's good to have you. Next up, we have my dad, Cowboy Senior, reeling from a Patriots defeat to a subpar Houston Texans team. How you doing, Dad?
Hey, I'm hanging in there. I've gotten over it. We've been spoiled for 20-something years. I guess we got to accept it. I think the playoffs, you'd have to go 6-0 now. It's not happening, but.
Probably not.
Enjoy the rest of the NFL and still root on our Pats every week. That's all you can do.
You should have picked against him again. Put the curse back on.
There you go. That's right.
Just kidding, Senior. Just kidding. I'd never blame you for a Patriots loss. You're the number one fan. And last but not least, my co-host from the beginning of this here show, Mr. John D'Amato, flying high, team tied for first in the win column. That's more than we can say for anyone else on the show. Am I right, John?
All right. I'll be here for a shoulder to cry on for you guys. You guys took some tough losses this week. And just like you guys were always there for me for the last few years of tough losses. It's been nothing but losses for the G-men. But you guys were there for me. I'll be there for you to get you through it.
Thank you, John. Everything else going well?
Ah, beautiful.
Getting ready for Turkey Day?
Every day's a holiday when you're J-A-D.
That's good to hear. That's good to hear. I don't have that going yet. Another decade or so, I'll be sitting in the catbird suit like you guys. It'll be good. All right.
I don't trip on the holidays.
Me and Ryder are going to be hanging out a little on Thanksgiving, which will be good. We're going to stay safe, of course. But we will be hanging out watching the games. So that'll be good, right? Right, buddy?
Yeah,
we'll be. It'll be a good time. All right. So before we get into all the action from last week and to preview this week's action, John's going to go through some of the other great content we have here on the North-South Connection Podcast Network.
All right. We had JT, Jenny, Tim, and Scott. Got through the journey through infinity, chapter 11, Avengers: Age of Ultron, and then Wrestling Warzone dropped a new one, the Monday Night Wars, episode number 59, where they went over Monday Nitro, 527.96. That's JT and Chad, and then Friday, Shrink Wrap, the Psychology of Superheroes, Jessica Jones, psychology experts Tim Cable, Jenny Smith, and Sean Kidd. Assess the superhero formerly known as Jewel, Jessica Jones. And then a new one on Saturday, the ubiquitous JT dropped the North-South mailbag where his fans wrote in and answered questions, mostly on wrestling, but also on a lot of other things like sports and personal stuff, so that's a good one to check out. That's me a monthly feature there. JT says we can't get enough of him, so he'll have his mailbag on monthly. And then on Sunday, the great Mark Clare, who unfortunately we missed this year because we don't get to see him at WrestleMania, but he dropped his Second Prince Comics podcast, episode number 16, The Ultimate X-Men 20 Years Later. And then Monday, Aaron George does a solo dolo on the year that was, WWF 2005, WWE actually, where Aaron does a solo dolo and reviews the whole year in WWE. And just today, our boy, Jambalaya Jake, dropped a Ruthlessly Aggressive podcast, number 17, where he goes over 6/24/02 to 6/27/02 in WWE land. So a lot of great stuff. People are very busy. Very productive people on the North-South Connection.
Thank you, John. Everybody should check out all that great content, or at least what you have time for. It's not every day you hear John say ubiquitous. So for those who read the write-up of our show, I choose a different adjective for John. I've tried to choose a different adjective for John for every single show that we've ever done. And I haven't used that one, but now I have it in the bag now. I have, just like Justin's got his bag, I got it in my bag. And we're going to break that out, you know, 3-6 months from now. Thanks. So thank you for that.
That bulging mail sack of yours. Yeah.
Very good, John. Very good. All right. So we want to get into the football here. So Ryder, first game I want to talk about. Unfortunately, Thursday night football, we had the Cardinals go to Seattle and fall just a little bit short. They fell just a little bit short, 28-21. I know you kind of had to go to bed at halftime of the game because of school, but I think I told you about it. So it's really like the Seattle defense just played their best game of the season, and Kyler got hurt in the beginning of the game and was a little bit off. So, Ryder, tell me, do you think that's just a little bit of a bump in the road for the Cardinals, and now they may get back on track against this week's opponent who's not coming in super hot that we'll talk about? Or are you worried about Kyler's injury? You think this could be the beginning of the end? What are you thinking?
Just a bump in the road? Yeah.
Yeah. So did you see Kyler injured himself?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was kind of uncomfortable for most of that game. And I think it really showed because he really didn't play particularly well, especially after coming off that ridiculous performance against Buffalo. So I would tend to agree with you there, Ryder, that it's more just a bump in the road. Seattle really needed the win. They were home. If the Cardinals lose this week, I think there's problems. I think you do not want to lose this game this week. And it's not an easy game coming to New England. But, Senior, as an objective observer of the Cardinals-Seahawks game, what were your takeaways?
Yeah, well, the Legion of Zoom, suddenly showed up and played a pretty good offensive game. And I kept saying the whole game that the Cardinals weren't playing their best. And from the time Kyler got hit on his shoulder, I didn't think he was 100% right, and that definitely contributed to it. But we know if Seattle gets any kind of defense, they're hard to beat because their offense, obviously, with Russell and those receivers is really good. And they took a page out of what I've been calling for a few weeks and started running the ball more and ran it pretty effectively. Carlos Hyde looked really good, and just the game plan to run more and try and control the ball more is going to help their defense and make them a better team, and they did. And right now, you look at that best, quote, best division in football, and you see the Cardinals a game behind the Rams and the Seahawks in third place, and the Rams look really good, and the Seahawks, I'm saying another favorite to win the division just because they probably have arguably the easiest schedule in the NFL the rest of the way. So they're going to put up a big number for a record. They're going to be hard to beat out. So your Cardinals, really have to play well. I think they're kind of playing for a wild card now, and they have to finish the season strong to get it. But being in the NFC, I still consider them, say that that division's going to send three teams to the playoffs and they'll grab one. But right now, I say the Seahawks definitely are the odds-on favorite to win that division. I think Carroll's come to his senses and is going to run the ball more. They have an easy schedule, and the defense looks a little better. So, yeah, that's basically my view.
Do you think the do you think they weren't running before that? Like, some of that was they just didn't have a running back. Hyde was hurt. Carson's been hurt. I mean, I know they weren't running a lot at the beginning of the year either. They really, like, when it was DJ Dallas back there, I mean, they weren't running at all, because you might as well throw D'Amato back there. Same difference.
Yeah, but even before Chris Carson went down, I mean, obviously they made a corporate decision to change their offensive philosophy going into this season, that NFL's a passing league. We've got this electric quarterback and great receivers, and we probably haven't taken advantage of them enough. I think that was their philosophy, but I think they went overboard with it. And now that they're reeling it in a little bit, going with a little bit of balance, and I think it's going to make them better, because of the points I made on our earlier shows, that the defense isn't that great, and that was exposing them and making them worse, because they were always on the field. They had no ball control at all, and they were also putting too much pressure on Russ. I mean, it was great for a while, but now teams weren't even honoring the run and defending it, and all of a sudden Russ started throwing interceptions way more than he normally would, and that didn't happen this week again because they ran the ball more. Your quarterback's going to play better if you run the ball a little bit, and you're also going to keep your defense off the field. So I really think they made a commitment to change their philosophy, and they overdid it, and they're making a correction now.
All right. So both of these teams have interesting games this week. Seattle going to Philly on Monday Night Football. Philly, just a horrible dumpster fire and a poor excuse for a football team right now. But that Seattle defense outside of the game against the Cardinals has been awful. And the game is in Philly. So, John, talk to us as our resident NFC East expert. Can you talk to us about Philly, about what you saw against Cleveland, and what your thoughts are with them against Seattle, with Seattle coming in?
What I saw against Cleveland, well, it was horrendous weather. So Wentz maybe gets a little bit of a pass, but he's still taking a lot of sacks. He's holding the ball way too long, making bad decisions. That pick six was, one of the major parts in the Cleveland game. Just everything falling apart for Philly. They're going away for them run and making them throw 50 times a game, which is, similar to what Seattle was doing. And they're not putting Wentz in a position to win ball games for him. And everything's falling apart over there in Philly.
So what you're saying, John, is they don't want to let Wentz cook, is what you're saying. Am I right?
Yeah.
We don't want to let Wentz cook. He has been so bad. And I'm like you, John, where I kind of was a believer in that team, at least as a decent team. And they have just been awful. And until they show me something else, like, I'm kind of in the camp that they're just a terrible, terrible team. Like, maybe the worst team in the NFL. Like, if they were playing the Jets this week, would they be favored?
Yes.
Yeah.
Should they be, though? Yes. They are bad, Dad. All you guys, they're bad. So
the Jets are a different level.
Ryder, who do you like on Monday night? Seattle or Philadelphia?
Seattle.
Sorry, he's going with the chalk. Anyone picking the upset? Philly at home. It's a little enticing, right? A little enticing. Josh thinking about it. I can see it.
Seattle played desperate. They don't want to lose to the Cardinals twice, and their defense was a lot improved. They gave up 21. I think somebody on the show said they'd kiss my shoe or something if they kept them under 30.
Yes, I do owe Yeshua a kiss. I do.
Listen, nobody touches these kicks, so you don't got to worry about that. I won't hold you to that. But as far as that, they needed a gift to get over 20 because it would have been under 20. One of those touchdown drives, they got a gift on that late hit penalty, which kept the drive alive, which led to one of the scores. Because Seattle with Dunlop, their defense can't be as bad as it was the first half. So they're probably going to roll here. As long as Adams stays healthy, Adams didn't play that first game, two versus Arizona made a big difference. So, you know, Ryder, I'm sorry, but your Cardinals are a couple lucky plays away from being 4-6, being fighting with Fat Trisha Land for a losing spot. So they still got a lot of stuff to clean up. Their defense is a little soft. Their offensive line is a little shaky. Their coach makes, their questionable calls. They get off the slow starts, Arizona. They got to start making it more easy with Kyler.
They're a young team. I mean, yeah. They were awful last year. I mean, what was their record last year, right? Was it 4-12 or 5-11? 5-10-1.
Yeah.
See, I forgot the tie. That's a true fan right there. That's a true fan. Remembered the tie in the 5-10-1 yep. season. Very good.
But they're gonna have to get a beast, on that left tackle. They're gonna have to get Kyle a little more protection.
They're a young team. Like they're probably a year away. Just things are so wide open this year that you never know. But I agree with you, John. I mean, they're not perfect. They're exciting as heck, though. A lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, still they didn't play that best game. And Seattle was desperate. They still had a chance to tie.
Yeah, they hung. I mean, they got stopped inside Seattle's territory in the last minute of the game trying to tie it.
But so, Seattle did a good job of, keeping away the big plays. The biggest play was 25 yards to the Williams kid. They really kind of shut Hopkins down, Seattle. So the kudos to them. I go with them big. Because Seattle continued to roll on Monday night versus Philly.
Senior, you going to make that a quadruple?
No doubt about it. I mean, that's easy.
Uh-oh. You know what that means.
Even we
Philly 29, baby. Pound it. All right. Next, so that's one of the games. The other game would be Arizona. We kind of alluded to this earlier. Arizona's coming to New England. And this is a bit of a sore subject for Ryder and I because we were definitely going to this game, 100%. And unfortunately, the global pandemic is going to put the kibosh on that and is actually going to probably force me to take Ryder to Arizona two or three times next year instead of like we had the Cardinals were coming to Foxborough and then they were playing at the Jets and at the Giants. We were going to go to all three. Pandemic got us.
So, had a heck of a shot at three wins for the Cardinals, too.
Yes, sir, CBO. Yes, sir. So let's talk about the Patriots. So the Patriots coming off flying high off a big Sunday night win against Baltimore, played Houston. It looked like it was a tough, Houston's record not great, but the way this Patriots team plays, I don't think there's such thing as an easy game. And that kind of reared its head in this game where the biggest difference between this Patriots team and others, like I think their offense might actually be better than it was last year, but the Patriots defense is really, really not playing very well. Like, I mean, they're middle of the pack, and for them to be successful, they need to be better than middle of the pack. Deshaun Watson had a field day, played a great game, clean game, and the Texans took it. The Texans took it and probably ended the Patriots' chance at a playoff spot. With that said, this is a team that has a lot of pride. They'll be playing at home, and they're kind of a team that it's like, I don't know what the hell to pick every week because they can beat anybody, and they can just – they played the Chiefs tough, and then, like, the Jets played them tough. They played the Chiefs tough without Cam Newton and then almost lost to the Jets. So they're just one of these teams that it's like you have no idea what you're going to get, which is scary for the Cardinals because if you get the good Patriots, they can definitely beat them. If you get the bad Patriots, the Cardinals will win the game by 25 points. So I'm going to go to Senior from Pat's analysis. But before I do that, I want to get Ryder's pick on the game before he's clouded by Senior's homerism with the Patriots. So Ryder, Cardinals at Patriots. Give me a pick. Give me a score.
Cardinals 24-17.
I think that's a reasonable pick. Now, do you think it's going to be where they jump out 21-3 and then there's a comeback by the Patriots that fall short? Or you think it's kind of close the whole way and maybe Kyler wins it at the end?
Close.
I kind of agree with you. I feel similarly about this game, Ryder. Now, Senior, could you let us know what's going on in New England?
Yeah, well, there's, you know, the one thing that puzzled me a little bit about Sunday was they started the game with getting Harris going, and then they kind of went away from it. You know, then they went away from their identity as a running team. I thought they should have stuck with the running game longer. I mean, the passing game worked well. If you want to look for silver linings in the loss, which is really kind of where we are, you know, as a Patriot fan, I'm looking to find positives. Cam played good. You know, they threw the ball well. Bird had a great game. The thing that bothered me, like I said, the way this team is constructed, they're not going to score 35 points. So the defense has to be better. And the comment I had made to you, if Gilmore plays, I really like the secondary with him and J.C. Jackson and the McCourties. But you know what? No matter how good a secondary you have, against a good quarterback, if you have no pass rush, you're screwed. And they had no pass rush at all. And to Deshaun Watson's credit, most of those passes, if you watch the game, was so perfectly thrown. But again, you give a really good quarterback that kind of time, that's what they're going to do. Your secondary really doesn't have much of a chance. He had a lot of time to throw. He's got some good receivers. And I thought he played phenomenal. You know, for a guy that's known to be this Joe Mobile and everything, he was very happy to just stand back there in the pocket. And the accuracy of his passing was unbelievable. He was throwing darts all over the place. So, yeah, the defense has to be better. And maybe we're looking at that as a problem with the defense. They have to find a pass rush. Maybe we had Trey Flowers a couple of years ago who could get after the quarterback. You know, I mean, let's face it, we let Jones go a few years before that. I mean, the Pats really don't have a pass rusher, you know, and they could use to get some pressure on the quarterback. So that's definitely a take. But I mean, they're still not an easy out for anybody. I don't think the Cardinals are going to walk in and just stomp all over the Pats. You know, I think it's going to be an interesting game, and I'd like to see them try to stick with the running game more to keep the defense off the field, and it's really their strength. I mean, Harris was running well, and all of a sudden they just kind of stopped running the ball, which I didn't completely get. I guess he wasn't 100% healthy going into the game. So, I mean, if Sony, they were saying all week that Sony was going to go and then he becomes an inactive at game time. I mean, if we knew Harris wasn't right, if Sony was okay to go, I don't understand why they didn't dress him for this game. And now they lost Burkhead for the season, so we'll probably see Sony dressed. And I like Harris better, but he can contribute to that power running game. That's the kind of back he is. So that's what I'm hoping for this week, a way that they can keep it close against the Cardinals, and then you make a play at the end of the game and you got a shot to win. Who knows?
Thank you, Senior. So for those who tuned in for an in-depth analysis of the 4-6 Patriots third string running back situation, you got it. So what's your prediction for the game, Senior?
I'm going to give the Cardinals a little more of a win than Ryder did, but I still think it's going to be a close game. I'll say 27-20 Cardinals.
27-20. And John, so the one takeaway from the I was thinking of you watching the Pats game, in that J.J. Watt finally had a decent game. I guess we had to bring it out of him.
Four pass deflections here. he had a monster game. He finally showed up. I think he bragged about it on his Twitter or whatever the frig. His social media made sure a very important game this week too, probably on the national, on the Thursday Thanksgiving game, he'll probably go off against the Lions. He always comes through on those real important games where he gets a lot of TV time.
So we got a clean sweep, John, or you like the Pats? I feel like you might like the Pats. I know you don't hold the Cardinals in that higher regard.
Well, let's go a couple things. First of all, I feel bad for you guys because I'm looking at the weather Sunday in Foxborough. It's going to be a balmy at 1 o'clock. It's going to be a balmy 52 degrees. It would have been nice for you guys. Ryder probably would have been out there in his shorts and his flip-flops. It's going to be a balmy 52 degrees, which will help Arizona because if the weather was a little mucked up, that would probably favor the Pats a little more. But I still say the Arizona's not that great against the run. So I think that the Pats are kind of one good game, one bad, and they're going to fight, and they're still tough out, the Patriots. It doesn't look like they're going to be a playoff contender, but they still give a professional effort every week. So I'm going to give the Pats the edge this week.
All right, Johnny's picking the Pats. Ryder's been to one live NFL game, and it was. Patriots Titans in the playoffs last year. We went for Brady's last game. And what happened on Brady's last pass in that game, Ryder? Do you remember?
It was intercepted.
And what happened on Brady's last pass last night?
It was intercepted.
There it is. So that brings us to Buccaneers Rams. Monday Night Football. Really good game. The Bucs are a weird team, but it seems like kind of the book's out on them in that if you can, as Brady gets older, and I mean, he always has kind of been like this, but I mean, especially as he's gotten older, like he does not deal with the pressure very well. Like, and even John, like when the Giants beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl, it's always like if you can put pressure on him with the front four, like he's screwed. But it's really amplified now. And I mean, I think they lost that game because Goff outplayed Brady. I mean, I think the defenses were similar. I know Goff threw a couple of picks, but at least he was able to move the ball. And Brady, with all the weapons, I guess he could hang a little bit. Antonio Brown missed a catchable pass, but it was not a great performance by Tom. And I love Tom, but I mean, I think it's tough to call him. I mean, he's not like the best quarterback in the NFL anymore. He's got a lot of weapons around him. They're a good team, but I don't see him going too far. Senior, or John, we haven't heard enough from you tonight. I'm sure you watched the game. Where were your thoughts on that game? Because Goff made his usual mistakes, but I just felt like the defenses are similar, right? I think they both have good defenses, good front sevens, and the Rams were just able to move the ball, and the Buccaneers really weren't for the most part.
Yeah, I was just shocked at the decision making. That last interception was egregious because with a minute 50 left and two timeouts, that he made it like it was a desperation on our second down. He made it like it was a desperation fourth down pass. That was just a horrible.
It was real similar to the other pick. The other pick was real bad too. Just kind of chucking it up down the middle of the field
because the desperation was there. He had plenty of time. He had the timeouts. He had everything. So tonight, back in your guys' heavenly days, he would just check off to James White and get an easy first down there. So that desperation was shocking to see the way they lost like that. But and another thing last night, I was just very impressed. Cooper Kupp, especially with the yards after the catch, very impressive. Breaking tackles, making plays. I think he's second in the league in yards after
catch. He's a great player. Woods is a great player too. Yeah. I mean, they're both really, really good. But
and
I
also
mean,
that
Mike Evans and Antonio Brown and Chris Godwin and Rob Gronkowski, they're all good too.
Yeah, but we got on Goff a lot, but that play before the half was a big field goal where him and Woods made most of the play too, but to get that 25-yard play and to get the and to spike the ball with 1 second left to get that field goal, and it turned out that what happened, they won by a field goal, so that was a huge play in that game.
Yeah, absolutely. Ryder, I know you couldn't stay up for the game, but just like, who do you think is a better who has better receivers of those two teams? Would you take the Rams or the Bucs?
Bucs.
I would take the Bucs. Do you think the Bucs have the best set of weapons in the whole NFL?
Maybe.
I think so. So, senior, what's going on? Is it Tom? Am I off base? I'm not trying to bury the guy, but it's, you know, I kind of feel like he lost that game last night.
Yeah, he definitely didn't have a good game. But I'm going to take some of it to the coaching again. The way the Rams ran their offense against a team that's got a pass rush, that's what you do. I mean, all those plays called. I mean, yeah, Kupp was the best player on the field. John stole my thunder a little bit. I was going to say, you know, you look at that group of receivers that the Bucs have, and the offensive player of the game was Kupp. He was unbelievable. But the play calls are all, I mean, Goff is getting rid of the ball in less than 2 seconds on every one, and that's by design. Right, everything was these little dinks underneath, designed for the guy to get yards after catch, and it worked good. And Arians just insists on running everything downfield, and I don't know if that's ever been to Tom's strength. Number one, and number two, it's worked really well when they play teams that don't have a pass rush. But when you're going against Aaron Donald and these guys, aren't you going to come up with something a little different in your game plan than having Tom throw the ball downfield all game? And he was under a lot of pressure the whole game, but you expect it against that line. So I think McVay and their offensive staff out-coached Arians. That's been a familiar theme. I'm not saying that being a big Tom Brady shill and take blame away from him. I completely agree that he didn't have a good game and he made some really bad decisions. That last one was really bad. There was the pick that he threw in the first half where it was like quite a ways downfield where he basically just threw it to the defensive back. It was like way off. I mean, he didn't play well. But again, I don't think he's got a good game plan to deal with. Like Johnny said, okay, maybe he should have thrown that ball away or he should have done something different with it. You're saying in his days in New England, he would have checked it down to James White. I don't think they have that there. I don't think that's available to them.
One catch for 9 yards. That was it for the run. The rest is all to the receivers and the tight end.
Fournette did drop three passes.
Yeah, but when did you see that with the Patriots? It would always be White, 7 catches, Burke, 3 or 4. You know, you always have that guy. At least give him that option. It's a lot to ask.
Yeah, I think that was game plan. You know, and I don't think that's what they like to do over there. You know, Jameis was the same way. He was throwing everything downfield the whole game long. That's Arians' style. And he ends up throwing 30 interceptions on the season. And Arians never adjusts his offense. You know, I think he's an overrated offensive coach because I think he's not flexible at all. He believes in his system, that this is the right way to go in today's NFL. And no matter what my personnel is and no matter what the defense does, that's what I'm going to do. And I think that stubbornness is hurting them. And again, I'm not trying to take all the blame away from Tom. I'm not. Tom played awful. But I think Arians could help him out some. But especially when you're going against team and everybody's going to be teeing off and blitzing now. I mean, the book's out. So, and it doesn't get any easier for them this week, right? They got the Chiefs coming into town this week.
There you go. Yeah, that's what we were going to talk about next, Senior. So, great segue.
Ryder,
we have the Chiefs going to Tampa Bay to play the Bucs. The Chiefs coming off what I think was really the game of the week. Great, great game against the Raiders. Again, unfortunately, Ryder, it seems like a lot of these great games happen after you already have to go to bed. But the Raiders played great. The Raiders seemed to kind of have their number, but they gave the ball back to Mahomes down 3 with 1.5 minutes left. And you're saying, oh, hopefully he can get a field goal. And he got a touchdown in about 45 seconds. And that was that. So he was phenomenal. The Chiefs got a win. We have the Chiefs going to Tampa. Tampa's been kind of doing this weird thing where they have like a shit game, then a great game, then a shit game, then a great game. So this was definitely, and sorry for the language, Ryder, but it's after 9 o'clock, so that means it's okay. So this was definitely a crap game for Tampa. Do you think they have a great one in them? Because I think to beat the Chiefs, it's probably a shootout, right? Do you think that Brady can come back from this pitiful performance and give Kansas City a game, or do you think that Mahomes is just gonna light him up? Mind you, Jared Goff threw for like 380 yards in that against Tampa.
I think they're going to be bad.
They being Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm.
So you like the Chiefs in that one.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anyone willing to go on out on the ledge? Senior could be the one. That blind loyalty to Mr. Brady. I can see a scenario where they play with him. I mean, the Chiefs almost lost to the Raiders. The Bucs are as good as the Raiders.
Yeah, the Bucs are going to be more desperate, and they seem to be a every other week team. So I'm going to go with the desperation factor. The Chiefs they pretty much got the division locked up. It doesn't matter. They're going to go hard for the bye and hope the Steelers drop one, but. I'll go with the desperation on the books and for them to pull out a shootout.
It's amazing, guys. So to the listeners, if I would have laid out odds for you guys before the show, right, about which one of the four hosts would parlay a Patriots win with a Patriots win against the Cardinals and Brady beating Mahomes, who would you guys have bet on? It wouldn't have been D'Amato, would it? Senior, you going to join him on that hill? Plenty of room.
No, I'm not. I mean, obviously, I think that the Bucks, with their personnel, they have a chance. But I think it's a bad matchup. I think I think the Chiefs can torture that defense with all their speed. You think you saw the Rams getting some yards after the catch with Mahomes dealing it to that track team. I think their defense is going to be in some trouble. And I think Frank Clark and Jones and those guys are going to get after Tom. And he's going to have a tough time. So, yeah, I think the Chiefs win. I'm going to say the Chiefs win the game comfortably.
All right. Yeah, I mean, that's the most likely scenario. I appreciate the gumption on D'Amato. I think it is. It's a ballsy pick. I think the Chiefs are going to win, too. But I can see a case for the Bucs and the Patriots. Like those were, if I was going to look at upsets this week, I think those would be the two that I think were the most possible. So thank you, John. Ryder, I believe that you need to go, my friend. We kept you on a little longer than usual this time. I know you wanted to get in on that Brady Mahomes discussion. So do you want to say happy Thanksgiving to all the fans?
Happy Thanksgiving.
All right, we're gonna be watching the games on Thursday. And Ryder, will you be back next week? We'll talk Patriots, Cardinals, and all the other stuff.
Yes.
All right. Well, thanks for joining, Ryder.
Good night, Ryder.
Good night, buddy. All right. So Ryder, he's a man of few words, but like I said, he's really increased viewership or listenership on the show. So we're happy to have him. Back to the core three here.
Everybody's excited now because they know John doesn't have to behave anymore.
Yes. John barely can contain himself when Ryder's not. Never mind when he's up. All right.
But before we get away from the Bucks, you know, it's not all on Brady and Aaron's too. That defense, I mean, Goff passed like 50 whatever times, and Tampa had zero sacks. JPP got his fingers on got an interception and a couple deflections, you know, one or two to match his fingers. But that's about it. Zero sacks. So they have wanted defense. Todd Bowles' defense got to get some.
That's
some
kind of been
too.
The book on them. That's how they were last year too. You can't run on them at all. And I think the Rams kind of did the right thing. They didn't even try. I mean, they just said screw it, and they just did the short passing game. If the Chiefs did their homework there, I mean, to Senior's point, they could really light him up with the short passing game.
I see it. You know, it was a great game plan, and you were saying no sacks, but it's hard to sack the guy when most of those plays, he was getting rid of the ball so quick. I mean, he wasn't even setting his feet in the pocket. He was just sprinting back and throwing. And I mean, Raj talked about how many yards Jared passed for, but most of them were after the catch. They were all just these little dinks, and it was a beautiful game plan. I mean, they executed it to perfection. The Rams are a good team. The Rams are a really good team.
Absolutely.
You know, their defense is so good. And, I mean, if Goff plays decent, that's a nice great pair of receivers. Get those guys the ball and just let them go with it. It worked out great for them.
So, another great game over this weekend, Indianapolis and Green Bay. Marquez Valdez-Scantling with a costly fumble in overtime to kind of cost them the game. Green Bay looking good. I think we want to tee up a couple of matchups this week. First, probably the game of the week, right? Unless you depending on how you feel about Kansas City, Tampa. We have Tennessee at Indianapolis. Tennessee coming off also an overtime win against Baltimore. That's got the Baltimore faithful just rattled, just rattled. But Lamar's really fallen off a cliff. I don't know. It's kind of confidence kind of thing. It's just odd because they just don't look like the same team. And now they're playing Pittsburgh on Thursday. But I would concentrate on the Titans. It's kind of a must-win game for the Titans, and they came out and played well. Henry played well. I thought Tannehill played a really good game. The defense was serviceable. But the Colts, I mean, I have not been a believer in the Colts, and I feel like they win in spite of Rivers, but it's tough to argue with the results, right? So sometimes you got to eat a little crow. They beat the Packers. The Packers are a real team. Sometimes you got to eat a little crow, and I'm going to eat a little crow. So that's a great game this week, and I don't know which way to go with it. The Colts have a really good run defense, which, you know, if you can stop Henry and make Tennessee at all one-dimensional, that's a recipe for disaster for them. And Indy's, you know, Tennessee's defense isn't that good. I know they played all right against Baltimore, but I feel like that may have been more of the Baltimore offense being terrible than the Tennessee defense doing anything great. So my heart, my head leans Indy, but my heart thinks Derrick Henry and Tennessee and Rivers will make a couple of mistakes to cost him the game. So I'm going to go with the Titans. Either one of you guys chime right in there.
All right, I'll play devil's advocate again on Rivers because you know I like the guy. In that game, you know, you think, right, you beat the Packers by running on them. Worst run defense in the league, maybe. And, okay, they got the running game going pretty good, right? Taylor probably finally had a decent game. He rushed for 90 yards at about 4 yards a clip. But Rivers basically put up identical numbers to Rodgers. He threw for like 280 yards. They each threw 3 touchdowns and 1 pick. Phillip played really, really well. I think I threw something in our chat room about another Sunday for two guys on the road to camp.
Yep,
and it was fun to watch. It was a really good game. I mean, you got to give Indy some respect. I mean, that defense is probably pretty much as good as any defense in the league. They might be the number one defense in the league. I think it's a tough matchup for Tennessee because they have a defense that can, at the very least, slow down Henry, and Henry doesn't go completely off on them. And their offense is rolling pretty good. I mean, I say Indy by 10 points in that game.
All right. Senior going with the semi-blowout. What are your thoughts, John? It's your kind of game, maybe, right? Could be a little slugfest.
Yeah, in the 20s. I like that that Thursday game, we wasn't able to get the show in the early that week, but I remember when we texted each other, you guys were on the Titans, and I was the only one that picked the Colts on that one.
That's right.
And but that game was close. That game came down to special teams. The Titans are on like their fourth
awful
punter, and he had a horrendous night, and Gokowski's been pretty much washed up for the Titans. And the Colts, on the other hand, they got rid of Vinatieri, very smart. They grabbed that Rodrigo Blankenship.
He's good.
He was one of the best kickers, if not the best kickers in college last year. And it was very surprising that he didn't get drafted. So right after, like a second after the draft ended, where you could sign the free agents, the Colts were smart to jump on him. That was a good move. And that was the difference. Special teams was a big difference in that first game. But these teams are evenly matched. And the Titans are well coached, and especially you get a tight game in that fourth quarter, and the Titans seem to knuckle up and get it done. So, man, I don't see the Colts beating them twice in 3 weeks. I'm gonna go with the Titans, even though it's in India, a slugfest like you said about 24-21 or something like that.
I like it. So one of you guys is gonna have a real bad week, and the other's gonna have good one. You've been on the other side of every game. here's one you'll probably be on the same side of, if I had to guess. So we want to see the Packers coming off a loss. Sunday night football.
Come on.
5-6.
We got the Bears. The Bears coming off the bye. We don't know yet whether it'll be Trubisky or Foles at quarterback. We don't know. They're going to have to trot out whoever's healthiest, I guess.
Poor Nagy.
Anyway, the Bears make this competitive in Lambeau.
No.
That's it.
Your defense is good there in Chicago, but you're not going to completely shut down Rodgers and the Packers. They're going to score their points, and the Bears' offense is just putrid. They just can't score. They have no chance in that game.
All right, so Senior puts it at 0%. John, you see anything different there? Or just kind of another week where the Bears can't score any points, and that's why
I'll give them if Trubisky is healthy, he can make some plays with his feet. That's all I'll say. I'll give them a little more higher than 0%, like maybe like a 10 or 15%. Otherwise, 5-6.
But you guys don't think there's any way you have like sometimes the expectations are just so low. That maybe the Bears come out and punch him in the mouth?
No, the Packers have been, man, they look great one quarter, and then the next quarter they look horrendous. Like they were up on that in that Colts game, and then they let the Colts just tie it up like so easy. Their defense like goes like soft for like quarters at a time, and we didn't expect Minnesota to go in Green Bay and beat them. Minnesota whipped them, so you never know, but. At the end of the day, you got to agree. The Packers should bounce back from that loss.
Yeah, agreed. You would just hate to see, with that big pass rush, something happened to Rodgers.
Nah, Don't do it.
I know there's history there. You know what
don't,
I mean?
Like, don't do it.
It just feels like one of those games where like 100% of the people are going to be on Green Bay. And the Bears come and maybe get something done. We'll see. I'm going to pick the Packers, too. But I think it'll be closer than you guys think. Senior, they're very disparaging of the Bears. Very, very disparaging of the Bears. So look at the schedule.
A long time ago, they were 5-1. And what was the statement? Worst 5 team in NFL history?
It wasn't good.
Nobody's arguing with that anymore.
It was a good call. Another game we want to touch on because it does have playoff implications. We have Cincinnati at home for the Giants. We have poor Joe Burrow. Just a viciously brutal injury to Joe Burrow. It looks like I saw somebody, I forget who it was, say that they should just sit him all the next year, too. That it's that bad that him playing next year would be technically kind of rushing him back. You're not going anywhere anyway. Let him get fully healthy. But it's really a shame because the kid's really good. It is a break for the Giants because Finley, we've seen Ryan Finley play before, and I'm confident that any one of us could go out there and accomplish what he does on the football field. So, for all you fantasy guys out there, anyone who's got a Bengal on their team, just on the bench, rest of the season, Finley's awful. But with all that said, I mean, the Giants are pretty big road favorites in this game, coming in off the bye, 2-game winning streak. Now with the Cowboys winning and the Washington football team winning, they really need to win this to kind of hold serve in the division. John, what are your thoughts on the game?
Well, hopefully they don't get overconfident because this could be the first time they're favored in a while and they're expected to win for the first time in probably like all season. So there's a lot of things going on with the backup quarterback and the Bengals got stuff going on which could go either way. There's supposedly a mutiny that a lot of the players don't like Taylor and they're not happy with his coaching besides Burrow. So that could go either way. Maybe they rally behind that and they say that it was just a lot of talk and the team rallies that they like their coach, and maybe you know, Finley makes a couple lucky plays or something like that. So you always got to keep that in the back of your mind. But hopefully the G-men stay focused, and they had their own drama with firing the offensive line coach and an erroneous report that there was like a physical altercation between him and a judge. So, you know, hopefully that doesn't mess things up. And also there's talk that, you know, that Garrett's not going to be the OC next year. So hopefully they just put that aside and continue forward and keep playing well and get the W.
Yeah, and I say this in seriousness. I mean, I know you said overconfident. I mean, that's not. Like, I would say the one thing that you can probably count on Judge for is bringing in that kind of that, you know, he coached for Belichick, right? Which is every game, you prepare the same way every week, whether it's the Super Bowl or whether you're playing the worst team in the league.
Our goal is to go 1-0. That's his thing. Our goal is to go 1-0
right.
Every week.
So I truly think that. And I mean, given the recent history, it would be really, really foolish for them to look past anybody. I mean, they haven't had a great 5 years, you know what I mean? So I expect them. I mean, Finley is comically bad. Like, you know, so there's some quarterbacks, and this is what I say about the Steelers, right? There's some quarterbacks that just the team doesn't really have a chance to win when they're playing quarterback. Finley's one of those guys. Mason Rudolph's one of those guys. Just they're so bad that, I mean, unless they get a defensive touchdown or something, there's no way they're scoring more than 30.
And also, Mixon is out too.
Oh, definitely. He's on IR. Yeah. They actually have good weapons on offense, but he's not going to be able to get him the ball.
Yeah, that Higg is a shame because Burrow and Higgins had a really nice chemistry.
See, Higgins is a good player. Tyler Boyd's a good player. Really, really good player. I mean, they're an up-and-coming team. It really is a shame about Burrow. I mean, that really sucks. Yeah. That was a really, you know, really hideous hit. I mean, if you saw the replays, I mean, that thing, I've never seen that before where the knee actually kind of popped out and then went back in. It was pretty rough. But, I mean, I like the G-man big in this game.
Good thing you didn't
preach. Like 24-3 or something. I just think it's one of those games where Cincinnati's just not going to be able to move the ball.
It's a good thing you didn't predict that Burrow injury. It was a good thing.
No, I mean, I would never want something like that to happen. And, you know, just with the older guys, it can happen. You know, at least the Packers, if it happens, at least they have like a kid back there maybe able to do something, you know. The whole thing with the Steelers, I just don't get it when you have a potentially like a Super Bowl roster that you don't like go get. Like you saw this week with the Cowboys, right? Dalton was serviceable. Like you can put him back there. Yeah. And he's a serviceable quarterback. And they did that because they have a good roster and they don't want one injury to just completely tank the season. If you have Ben Roethlisberger, who gets hurt every single year, and you watched Mason Rudolph play last year, it makes no sense. I mean,
you made a good point. Because the Cowboys could easily be could only have two wins. The Giant game too, Dalton helped them there. So,
yeah, exactly. And I mean, there are teams. I mean, I know you don't like. I guess you say, oh well, if we lose that guy, we're screwed. But for the Steelers, like Roethlisberger is not that great anymore. Where if you had someone else who was decent, they would still be. It's just foolish to me. Like, go get like a Tyrod Taylor, something like that. You know, who's at least who could at least move the offense instead of the fucking Duck they had out there last year. And
bring back the Duck.
Anyway, I don't want to keep talking about the injuries, but I feel terribly for Burrow Senior. Yeah, I mean, you gotta like the G-men this week. You're not going against D'Amato here.
No. I mean, the Bengals. Yeah, I mean. Burrow was playing great, and they have a good set of receivers. And with that, what do they have? 2 or 3 wins?
Exactly.
So now you take that only strength that they had, their passing game, completely out of the picture with Finley throwing the ball. Their defense is bad. The Giants will be able to get their power running game going. The Giants' defense, I think, should stop them cold. I think they should win it pretty easily. And Johnny's one fear that they're going to get overconfident. You made a good point of Joe Judge coming from the Belichick tree won't allow that to happen. And also, I mean, you're a 3-7 team. You don't get overconfident when you're 3-7 against anybody.
Hope not.
I think the Giants are kind of flying, too. I think they're on a roll. They've won two in a row. They're feeling good. I think they're going to roll.
All right. I hope so. I'm going to be tuned in. I like that. I like the Giants team. I love the fact they're doing it without Barkley for D'Amato. Like, this would really be a perfect...
The win train. The win train.
It would be a perfect season for you, John, if they won the division without Barkley and, like, you know, between the tackles and Morris. Like, it's just...
4 yards in a cloud of dust. The win train.
And Danny Dimes running the ball. A great athlete that he is.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Speaking of young QBs, I'm not necessarily looking to predict games here, but you know, it's some interesting stuff. Lee Lowe's making an appearance, so it must have been a dog on the television.
Yeah, I didn't pick it up quick enough. We had a dog on the commercial.
Lee Lowe said, "Go Giants!" Yeah, I appreciate it.
Lee Lowe sees a dog on TV and like goes after the TV. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen. So anyway. Like, this draft class has been really, really interesting, right? Because you have Burrow, who was playing really well. Then Tua, who actually got pulled this week, which Flores, I mean, I give him some credit for doing that. But, I mean, some folks kind of thought the Chargers reached for Herbert. But it's so weird, right? Sometimes when a guy gets to the NFL, I mean, I think if they redid the draft, even before the injury, he probably goes number one. I mean, he looks like he's really, really gut it all. Like, I mean, he kind of is a few different guys wrapped into one. He's got like Josh Allen size and arm, but he's more accurate. I mean, he's a real good quarterback already. Like, I think if they were better, like, he would be in the MVP conversation with the numbers he's putting up. And so what do you guys think? I mean, that's just marveling at how good he is.
Yeah, one of the plays he made last week, you know, shows us a guy wise beyond his years and shows his tools. I think it was Keenan Allen who was at the back of the end zone. Fender wasn't looking, but was like draped all over him. And he kind of threw it, so he had to step to his, he fired it. So I'm not sure, it might not have been Allen, but I'm pretty sure it was. So he had to like step to his left and he threw him open on it. It was like a really smart play. But it also took a cannon arm to do it. I mean, this kid's playing beyond his years, and he has all the tools. He's really special.
Yes. Yeah, John, you're big on Herbert. You like him?
Oh, definitely.
Superstar, right?
Yeah, and it just shows that don't always get your hopes and put it all on one guy. Like last year, nobody was talking about Herbert at this time, so... It was all Burrow came on late. At first it was Tua, then it was Burrow. So it just goes to show you never know. So if your team needs a quarterback next year, if you don't get Lawrence, there'll be a couple other guys like we said, Justin Fields and somebody that we don't even know will emerge. So
could be better than Lawrence. You know, I mean, like, what do you think about Tua? Senior, you're a huge Tua believer, and he's been up and down. Do you think it's something where he just needs a little time to figure it out? Do you think his tools maybe don't translate quite as well as Herbert's to the NFL level? I know it's early to say stuff like that, but...
No, I still think he's going to be real good. You hear a lot of guys say the most important thing an NFL quarterback can have is accuracy, and he's got that, and he's a smart kid, and he's a winner. I mean, remember, he didn't play for a long time. He's coming off an injury. I mean, experienced guys have trouble coming off an injury that keep him out for a whole year. It takes a little time, you know. He's only played, what, 4 NFL games. He had a bad game last week. Also, that pass rush was all over him, but he had a bad game. But, I mean, that's going to happen. Flores is taking some heat for yanking him, that you might be damaging the kid's confidence, that, you know, you were on a 5-game winning streak, and now instead of coaching as much big picture, all of a sudden, I think, you know, you weren't supposed to be there this year and you were handed 2 of the keys and it was all a big picture move. And now all of a sudden you win 5 in a row and you're thinking about winning the division. And so you make a decision like you did, thinking at that point in that game, Fitz might have given you a better chance to come back and win. You were still in range of winning the game. It was still close, but Tua was doing nothing. But I think you went to the kid and you should stay with him. And I think Flores might be regretting it now. I mean, it's easy to say if they would have won the game, you might say something different, but I think he's your guy and you should stay with him. And I think he's going to be really good.
Yeah, Flores has been on a roll. He hasn't made many bad moves this year, but that was a rough one. But I think that you know, the Broncos had six sacks on him. I think it was more of a protection thing that he did, that he was the fear that he was gonna get hurt. So you might as well just throw a human punching bag out there, Fitz, and see if some Fitz magic can make. But
he did say, I think he said that he thought Fitz gave him the best chance to win.
Well. Wow. Yeah. Everybody thought it was, if you saw the last hit he took in his last possession,
yeah,
on the leg, it looked like, oh my God, after what happened to Burrow today. And I thought that he was semi-injured on that play. And I think everybody did. And that's why he came out. But Flores' statement after the game, not only what Raj said, he said he took him out. His first statement was, I took him out for performance reasons. So, yeah, he didn't even have to say that. He could have said what you just said. He got sacked six times. He just took a really bad hit. I was protecting my kid. It might have been good for Tua to hear that psychologically rather than I took him out for performance reasons. I mean, I don't know. I'm not an NFL coach, but I don't think that was Flores' greatest move. And again, if he won the game, was it worth it? I don't know. You know, I mean, are the Dolphins a championship contender this year? That's kind of a stretch. And I don't think they expect it to be where they are right now. And I think that had something to do with it. I think when he put Tua in, changed the starting quarterback, even though Fitz was playing pretty well, it was a move of he's in for the season now. We're on a long range plan. This isn't our year. We're not there yet. And that psychologically changed because you won five games in a row. Just my opinion. And now you're managing two things. You're managing big picture, but you're trying to win now. And they kind of got crossed up, and I think he made a bad decision.
I think he's got the cred, though. I think he's got the cred to do it. I mean, he's been a very good coach, and I mean, I actually think he was trying to win the game. I think that's.
Oh, I totally agree with that. But was it worth doing that? Big picture wise, was it the smart thing to do? To go all out to win the game.
Yeah, I don't think one game's going to really affect its development. We'll see.
Yeah.
One more thing.
Is he going to be looking over his shoulder now if he starts having a bad game? You know, I don't know.
One more thing. I meant to bring this up earlier, but it was a big story in the NFL with Taysom Hill at quarterback for the Saints. You guys want to hear my he played very well. He played very, very well. Against a terrible defense, but he played well. He showed he could throw the ball, which we thought you guys want to hear my crazy prediction. I feel pretty strongly about this too. We talked about cred for coaches, right? Peyton's got a lot of cred, and Peyton loves this kid. I don't think he likes him. Peyton loves this kid. And I think, and I hope it happens, because I really, really think this is going to be the case, that if he wins the next couple of games and plays real well, then you're going to get Alex Smith, Colin Kaepernick again. I don't think he's going to sit the kid when Breeze comes back. I think he likes him that much. And I think he's one of maybe the two coaches in the whole league with the kind of cred where he would feel empowered to do that. So.
No, I think that's crazy. And the comparison you make is somewhat flawed. I mean, sitting Alex Smith to play. I mean, Alex Smith was playing well, but sitting Alex Smith and sitting Drew Brees, two completely different things. Drew Brees has a lot more cred than Alex Smith had.
I don't think Peyton gives.
I don't think you can do that. Honestly. I don't think he'll do that. That's nuts. Unless you think he's going to light the world on fire. I mean, he had that one good game against the Falcons. He could go out and lay a couple of eggs in the next couple
that,
of weeks.
That's what it's contingent on. Is that I say if they keep winning and he plays like he did against the Falcons, where he becomes kind of a story. I'm telling you, he loves him. He absolutely loves him. They gave him all this money. I mean, I'm telling you, Dad. I mean, I think John might agree with me. I don't know if it's tough. It's tough to sit Drew Brees, but for what it's worth, and I'm not saying he should do it, but I could see the train of thought in that, you know, I mean, what honestly, Breeze has gotten them a lot of regular season success, right? I mean, if you want to be, and they won a Super Bowl. Yeah, was that 12 years ago or whatever it was?
Super Bowl. But the other thing is, Rodgers, as much as you were raving about his performance, right, because we didn't know what we were going to get from him, he put up 24 points against the Falcons. If Breeze played, you might have scored 37.
I'm not saying it's the right move. I'm in Sean Payton's head.
Okay, I think that's nuts. I don't think so. I don't think Payton will do that. Okay, it's a great talking point. John, why don't you chime in?
Well, I agree 100% with Junior as far as it's obvious how much Payton loves him. And he gave him a nice soft landing spot, putting him right in, made sure to put him in against that shitty friggin' Falcons. So he's going to look good no matter what. And guess what? They play the Falcons again next week, so he's going to rack up some stats. But this week will be a little bit more of a test versus at Denver. That's not going to be an easy game, so we'll get to see what he could do more. But I don't think if Drew is healthy, I don't think he would keep Hill in there.
Put him back into his old role. I mean, he still was an integral part of that team.
Because that's pretty much, and also Drew's pretty much, he's all but said it that this is his last year, and he's going for one more shot at the ball. So I don't think Peyton would deny him that. But then again, maybe Breeze is injured.
Gets the ring holding the clipboard, Domino.
He's gonna want to lead him and do everything there, but. But as far as Hill, he did make a couple of decent throws, which was surprising, which he hasn't shown before. But it was against Atlanta. Let's see him in there against the real defense.
Again, I don't know that it's the right move. I mean, it does give them, if he can throw the ball at all, it gives them a real element on offense that other teams don't.
No,
really
to your have. To your point, Breeze has come up short in the last few playoffs. So maybe that extra. That extra running, those extra running plays that only Hill makes, that one, even though it was against weak Atlanta, that second touchdown where he sprinted towards the sidelines with very little room, that's a play that only your Lamars, your Murrays make as far as his running.
Oh, definitely.
But still, come on. You saw that that throw to Sanders, which was about 20 yards on the throne, only because of the lousy Falcons secondary was that completed.
When
you need to make a real throw against a real defense, he's not gonna be able to make plays like that against a real defense.
No, I know, and I feel like I'm in Peyton's head on this one. I want him to go on a little run because I really think Peyton would have trouble taking him out. I really, really do. We'll see.
No, nah, but then again, he's got him groomed for next year. He's got him groomed for next year, man.
And it's not like another quarterback where when your starter comes back and you sit the other guy, you're sitting the other guy. I mean, he's still going to play, and you might even increase his role a little bit. You could sell me on that, but no way he's going to not play Drew Brees if he's healthy.
See, that's why the people tune in. For these bold predictions, bold analysis.
That's bold.
What do they say? You can't hit what you don't swing at, kind of deal, right?
Yeah.
So it's true in football, and then back when we were Johnny's still a single guy, but that's his strategy, right, John? Just take as many swings as humanly possible, and eventually something.
You're gonna make
slide squirrel finds a nut, sort of deal. Yeah, that's how I always did it. But anyway, guys, we're a little over an hour here. We know the faithful don't like it when we go too much beyond that. They don't want the long form show, but we still have a few minutes if we want to talk about anything else.
Yeah, very quick. The Thanksgiving Skins Cowboys and Ravens Steelers.
Lions Texans should be a lot. They tip a game that you're going to hate, D'Amato. No defense at all. Two bad teams.
Well, the Lions didn't show any offense. They got shut out by Carolina.
That was really, really awful.
I mean, come on. They could have been 5-5 and still fighting for a playoff. They could have made this game worth something. But
that starts at the top, John. They got shut out by Carolina when Carolina had to play their backup quarterback. All they had to do was show up a little. Patricia didn't have him. Didn't have him ready to go.
No Swift, no Galladay. You know, the offense isn't quite as imposing. Peterson doesn't have much left in the tank, so they did miss those two guys.
Yeah,
but I mean, Carolina's defense is not very good to get shut out. I think Finley puts up three on them if they play.
Yeah, they didn't even threaten to score.
That was a bad performance.
Yeah, they didn't even get inside the 20. But yeah, but Thursday. I look for J.J. Watt to have a nice game on national TV, a big audience, a very important game. That's where he does his best work. But Watson, we forget about that. Watson's still a terrific player, so he's gonna put up some points for you for his fantasy guys against Patricia's no defense.
Two in a row for the resurgent Texans.
I gotta go Texans myself. I have zero faith in the Lions and their coach. And then Cowboys, Washington football team. The Cowboys really showed me something this week. Did I pick them to win, or did I just say they would play better than people thought they would? I forget. But either way, Dalton, they looked like a real team again. I mean, Minnesota was playing well, and that was a real win. I think the biggest takeaway for me was that their defense played pretty good again. And I mean, that was really like their big problem, right? I mean, I know the one game they played that guy, DiNucci. I mean, the guy shouldn't have even probably been starting a quarterback in college, wherever the hell he went. But now, I mean, just to have someone capable under there, they can win games if they're not giving up fucking 45 points to everybody they play. And Dalton, surrounded by good weapons, played good enough. Zeke actually looked like maybe he worked out or something during the bye week. Looked a little more spry to me. And I really liked what I saw from them. I think they kind of roll. I think they walk out. They roll Washington, personally.
Yeah, Washington got them the first time. I go for the Cowboys to return the favor. And yeah, to your point, the Vikings up 28-24. They could have salted the game away, and Dallas had a big stop. And then when Dallas took the lead, all the Vikings had to do was get a field goal to tie and put it to overtime. And again, Dallas stopped them again. I mean, they did give up 28 points, but in this day and age, that's a pretty good performance.
The Vikings have a good offense.
Yeah.
I mean, the Vikings can put up points on anybody. I mean, 28 to the Vikings.
Yeah, they shut them down when it counted. I mean,
if they played them in week two, that would have been like 52.
Yeah.
You know, Cook, four touchdowns and 200 yards rushing or something.
When the Vikings had the ball at 28-24, I thought they were going to put them away, and they didn't. Right? That was the big part of the game.
And then I definitely thought they were going to come down and at least kick a field goal. And I mean, they didn't even get close. The Cowboys defense really stepped up.
But at least they made a little juice out of the game versus the Redskins. I know everybody's gonna make jokes. It's about the NL East and all that. But it's still Washington's been improving too. So it should be at least a decent game.
See, I think Senior put the kibosh. So this could be another prediction that every team in the NFC East finishes with a better record than the Patriots. That is in play. They're all one.
That ain't going to happen. You know, I think we're seeing a little parallel. There were two teams who, surprisingly to all of us, really, if you would have said it at the beginning of the season, had defenses that were on their way to being two of the worst defenses in the history of football. Nobody saw that coming. The Cowboys and the Seahawks. And they both seem to be straightening out a little bit. I'm not saying they're turning into the 86 Bears, but they're both playing decent defensive football again. And if the Cowboys can do that, they're a definite contender in the NFC East. So the other thing about that game was the things I'm taking away from it. When I think of that game, the two things that pop into my head was we saw for touchdowns, two of the best catches you're ever going to see.
CD
Lamb and Adam Thielen then said, okay, well, it was like a anything you can do, I can do better kind of thing. Those two catches were unbelievable. Yeah. So it was a fun game to watch. You know, there was.
It was
a good game. And I think this is going to be a good game. I'm much more looking forward to that game as the turkey's digesting than I am to the opening game on Thursday. I think this is a real interesting game because Washington's got a real defense. So they'll test Dalton. There's no doubt about it. Dalton's going to have to play well. I'm going to give a slight edge to the Cowboys because I think they got it going, but I wouldn't be shocked if Washington wins. I think it's going to be a close game.
So do you guys
a close game to the Cowboys? They're playing to be tied for first place in the NFC East with the G-men. And also my theme about the winning percentage in the NFC least after last week's huge week of going 667. For the first time this year, the division's combined winning percentage has broken the 300 mark. Barely, but it's broken the 300 mark because you have three teams at 300 and one at 350 because of the tie. So,
you know. To be fair, I mean, to be fair, other than the
is on their way, but of course they have to start winning some games when you play divisional games. But they're playing better, and I think the Giants are on the best roll of the whole division, though.
To be fair, I mean, the Eagles are a dumpster fire, but the other three teams are all playing serviceable football right now.
You got to
say that. I mean, that's
making for an interesting division. I agree. I mean, but then when you look at it and say, you know, we've watched the Pats this year and we're disgusted and we're 4-6, we'd be flying high in that division. So it's a bad division. But it's getting interesting. The teams are playing a little better. It's getting interesting. I heard somebody say today, and it's an interesting thing, and when you come down to that last week of the season with the one more wild card this year, you'll have games where teams might not have played so hard because they have clinched a wild card. But if you're in the NFC and you get a chance to be the first wild card instead of the second, you're going to play all out to win, to be playing that NFC least champion in the first round.
But that's fine. Hypothetically, if it is the Giants and that first wild card, maybe it's Tampa. What happened a couple weeks ago when Tampa went into the MetLife Stadium? Did they blow them out? Did they blow them out?
That would be a real interesting game, obviously. Yeah. Brady wrinkle against the Giants.
But how was the game a couple weeks ago? Was it a blowout? You know, some would say they needed a friendly rock flags to win the game. It was a very competitive game. It was a competitive game. So.
That could happen, I guess. I mean, right now I would think that the top wild card, if I had to guess, would be either the Rams or the Seahawks. I mean, with the Seahawks schedule, you pick them.
The Giants played the Rams in L.A. The Giants played the Rams stuff, too. They only lost by 8 points. Well, so
this is so great seeing Johnny get pumped up again for the G-Men. I'm happy for you, buddy. I'm pulling for him. I want him to win the division.
Senior, you gotta weigh with words to get this guy all cranked up. I could, you know, for those who don't know, we went to video on the podcast, so with Ryder, it makes it easier. So we can all see each other now for the first time. And Senior, you don't even mean it. It's just the way that you analyze things. So like your internal biases just really come out. And I mean, like the listeners can chime in on this, but that was the most condescending 5 minutes about a division I've heard in my life. About it.
That's okay.
And I could see John just, you know, he's taking it. And then as soon as he gave him the chance to strike on Brady, boom, like a cold.
That wasn't so much on Brady. But also, let's remind the fans, the last shitty division winner was, I think, Seattle, 7-9. And
that was the beast mode run.
Of course, the Beastquake game. Yeah, they whipped the Saints. They whipped
wasn't
the Saints.
Wasn't Taysom Hill the quarterback in that one, was it?
Nah, they whipped them. So, yeah.
Yeah, but this division may not go them with the 7-9.
Yeah, so that's okay.
10 might win it.
Yeah.
The same difference, Senior. All right, guys.
I mean, I don't know. It sounds pretty awful if it happens that you could win a division at 6-10. I mean, that'll be ugly. But.
And then quickly, the nightcap, Steelers-Ravens. I think the Ravens might be desperate. I'm going to go against the Steelers just about every week when they're not playing Jacksonville.
I would tend to agree with you, but the Ravens are going to be
COVID.
They're going to be down a number of guys. They really look bad in their last in against Tennessee too.
But even the Steelers, Tomlin and Big Ben have kind of made quotes saying that they just want to, you know, it's more important to win the Super Bowl that the. They're pretty much saying they don't want to go undefeated. They want to get a loss afterwards.
They hate the Ravens, though. I mean, it's
a good chance to bury the Ravens.
In a couple of weeks.
And then Harbaugh. I mean, maybe Harbaugh will go out to midfield and start yelling at players again. I thought Malcolm Butler was gonna punch him in the face.
I hate Harbaugh, so seeing Malcolm go after him was pretty sweet.
But that
only bright spot in the Ravens' offense, I thought, was Dobbins.
Yeah.
In that game, and he's out with COVID. He's not
Andrews.
Playing.
Andrews had a good game, too.
But Lamar's – Jackson's killing him this year.
Passing game.
Lamar's really killing them this year. That they were up by 8 and late in the third quarter, and they were going to go up 2 scores, and Lamar threw a hideous interception, and that kind of sparked the Titans. But also, you're seeing, once again, in that fourth quarter, the Ravens didn't want to play. They didn't want to tackle nobody. They just got physical. That A.J. Brown touchdown, the Derrick Henry, it's like the Ravens kind of got soft in the fourth quarter, man.
Not something you expect from the Ravens. Yeah. Their reputation.
But hey, that might be a red flag. If they go bust, though, there may be another Harbaugh in the coaching field available. You never know.
I don't want them. But, yeah, they lose this game to the Steelers, and they're looking like probably not playoffs. I mean, they're on their way to the outside looking in. Really.
They don't look. I mean,
AFC is going to be tough to make the playoffs, and they're out now, and that would put them further.
The eye test. I mean, they don't look like a playoff team to me the way they're playing. I mean, they played like shit against the Patriots. They played like shit in this Tennessee game. Those are two games they should have won if they were a real team. And I mean, I think Pittsburgh might come out and really, really put it to them with the COVID stuff going on. If it was anybody else, John, I would kind of agree with you. Like if Pittsburgh was playing it, but that rivalry is so, I mean, it's the biggest rivalry in the NFL, and you know that the Pittsburgh will love to just kick them when they're down.
Yeah, and bury them when you got a chance to eliminate them. Yeah, but I'm just going to go with the desperation and like I said, I don't expect the Steelers to go.
And the Ravens undefeated first game. To be fair, I mean they were ahead the whole game and then blew it at the end. So
fuck it, I'm going Ravens.
All right,
I like it. Special.
Another thing, how quickly things can change in the NFL. I mean, the league MVP last year is clearly, you can't even make a case that he's a top 10 quarterback this year. I don't know if you can make a case that he's a top 15 quarterback this year. He's turned into a lot from MVP to being a liability, really.
But look at the history with the run first quarterbacks. I mean, true. Michael Vick, 2-3 years, they figured him out. Kaepernick, 2-3 years, and then they figured him out. By the end of Kaepernick's career, he was benched for fucking Blaine Gabbert.
The difference, I mean, and the thing with Lamar is even Vic and Kat, like, they never ran him like quite like Lamar. I mean, Lamar was getting 15 to 20 carries a game last year.
Designed runs, too.
No, and like,
eventually teams figure that out. Eventually teams figure out the run.
And like Lamar doesn't have like the arm talent that those guys have. Like if you look at a guy like Kyler, like he runs a lot, but he's looking to throw and then he runs usually.
Kyler's not on that. Yeah, Kyler's not on that run limb.
Vic had a huge arm, just didn't know where it was going. Yeah. What was that, senior?
Kyler's rushed for a lot of yards this year, but they don't design a lot of running plays for him. I mean, Lamar last year, it was like a college offense.
They used like, I mean, very similar to how the Saints just used Taysom Hill in this game. Very, very similar.
Kind of like the old college quarterback thing. You know, they don't do it as much anymore, even in college. But like in the old Wishbone days, where they'd be running that option the whole game long. That's what the way Lamar was playing last year.
And I mean, that just has a shelf life. I mean, he's a real talented kid and
great athlete.
He could turn it around at any time, but I think they came into this year, and I think you touched on this, senior, where they wanted to make a concerted effort to not do that as much. And I think them doing that, them running with him 15, 20 times a game really opened up the passing game for him, right? Where he only had to make the one read because that guy was usually open because there's freaking 10 guys in the box trying to stop you from running. And it's just, you know, this transition to more of a pocket passer has been bumpy. I think he can do it. I think he's
and his number one wideout didn't help him in that game either. Hollywood had one bad drop and another play on one that he threw deep to him where, you know, it was kind of a 50-50-ish ball where I thought he made a real feeble attempt. Like he didn't make much of an effort at all to go up and get it like a number one receiver.
I mean, they don't have a number one receiver. I mean, he's not a number one receiver.
He is his number one.
Yeah, I mean, it speaks to how bad their receiving core is that Dez was really involved. I mean, honestly, I mean, what does Dez really have left, right? I mean, he had 5 catches, I think.
Hey, he was moving around pretty good, I'll say that. Looked better than I thought he would. Yeah, but their whole passing game is as big as to the tight end. They don't, you know, I don't know. And I had picked that team to win the Super Bowl before the season started.
I picked the Cowboys to win the Super Bowl.
They'll both be watching the whole
time. Were you on, John? I forget.
Saints and Steelers. Still in play.
Much better than the Jacksonville pick from, was it last year or the year before?
Yeah, that was the year before. Man.
Jacksonville, Atlanta,
yeah.
For 5 wins or something.
Jacksonville, Atlanta, yep.
All right, guys, we're at hour 24. The people are gonna be upset.
Oh man!
Anyone? Any parting shots, senior?
No. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. We really appreciate everybody listening. The show's been a real fun time to do this year. We are thankful for each other. I'm thankful for you guys having you guys to come and talk football with every once a week, especially during the pandemic. And I'm very thankful for the listeners who reach out to me more and more, and very thankful for Ryder, who is not on the call now, but he knows that. So to all our faithful, happy Thanksgiving. Remember, as John, me and John, we're kind of on the same wavelength here. I'm just going to be the one to say it. There's a reason that the Detroit game's on first, and that's so you can eat while you watch Patricia's boys go. So make sure you do that. Eat a lot, eat like your Big Mac, and enjoy the games, and we'll be back next week. Happy Thanksgiving.
Stay safe.